This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, hour number two. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney on this Tuesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio chilling in our studio. It's the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. Help provide a seamless mortgage experience. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. If you want to get at one of us individually, on the phones at 855-212-4227. Of course, YouTube, Instagram, TikiandTierney.com, CBSSportsRadio.com, MillionOutletsRadio.com to get us and stick with us and do your thing as you get ready to enter. Finally feels like summer. Like, it finally feels like summer.
Because you don't have to go. You don't have to worry about a jacket. Even if it's cool, you don't have to worry about a jacket.
Oh, I put it all away. Sweaters, hoodies away. Golf shirts out. All right, Teague. Our next guest here has just an incredible story. There's really no other way to put it. First of all, he was a first-round pick, so you know he could play. He's on the A's, was with the Cardinals to start. His mom passed away from ALS. He's from Pleasanton, California, which is the East Bay. Mm-hmm. An incredible story and a lot of things to get into with Steve Piscotty of the A's, their outfielder, who's with us on the show here. Steve, Tiki and Tierney, how are you today, man? Welcome to our show. What's happening?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously, you heard me reference your mom. We want to get into that a little bit for sure. It's such a big part of your story and so well chronicled. But at least on a lighter note, a happier note out of the chute, 2012, you were a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. And the draft is going on now. Kids are getting the calls from the GMs and the teams and dreams fulfilled. What was it like when the phone rang? Did you expect to be a first-round pick? What was it like for you back then?
Yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. I remember it's just weird timing. You know, when I was at Stanford, you're playing these regionals and you're playing these super competitive games, trying to make it to the College World Series, and then you got this draft kind of looming. And it's just it's a pretty interesting time. And for me, I had a good sense that I could go relatively early in the draft. And, had a little draft party back home with my family and some coaches that meant a lot to me. Kind of throughout my young career, and it was an interesting process. I had gotten calls early in the first round. They wanted to take me, but they didn't want to pay me the slot money, and we decided to pass on that. And then I remember the Brewers were going to take me at, I think, pick 38, and they called and asked me if I'd sign. Said, "Yeah, absolutely, let's do it."
Yeah, you know,
and, and then just two picks before that, the Cardinals came on the screen, who I had not talked to at all. And my name just popped up, and that was that.
Wow.
You know what's interesting, Steve, because it's a funny, how it works out, and it turned out, I think, the right path for you. But in the NFL, you're not talking to anybody before they draft you. Hey, you going to sign this deal? It's like, of course I'm going to sign the deal. Wherever you take me, I don't have a choice. Yeah. It's like you got baseball players. It seems like so much more power in this draft process. It's funny. Yesterday I had Frank Thomas and Mo Vaughn in studio, and they were talking about, it's going to college versus going to high school, going straight out of high school. And they said, look, if the money's right, I'll go straight out of high school. Yeah. I mean, so much of this is a pre-negotiation, which we don't really see from a consumer standpoint.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a little different. And, teams got to juggle, they have a certain amount of money that they can spend on their first 10 picks. And, it's if you want more than they want to give you, then you kind of hose the rest of their draft picks. So that there's another element to it that's pretty interesting.
We're talking to Steve Piscotty from the A's, their outfielder, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You guys have gotten a little cool here. You lost five straight. You were red hot for a while. You at one point won 10 of 11. So we have a couple of team-specific things we want to throw by you. But I also wanted to ask you this, because Tiki and I debated this. We do a segment called Inbounds, Out of Bounds, and one of the questions was, or one of the points was, that we had to react to, for the first time ever, within the first six or seven picks of the Major League Draft, there was not a pitcher selected. all position players, thumpers, guys that can mash. And I just believe there's, you know, a shifting devaluing, if you will, of pitchers. And I don't know if it's going to change, Steve, because all these hitters, no offense, you guys strike out a lot these days. I mean, there's no punishment for whiffing. So why am I going to give a pitcher with a pitch limit, an innings limit? It's not the 80s or the 70s where, you know, Nolan Ryan's going to throw 277 innings like Tom Seaver. It's different. Do you think that this is an aberration or this is a new shift in the draft philosophy?
I mean, that's a good question. I haven't really considered that point, but you know, I think it's well taken. I think there has been a shift. I mean, guys are throwing harder than ever now, and I think with the increase in velocity, you know, shoulders, elbows, those things kind of pop up on injury reports more often, and that's just the way the game's moving. I mean, the velo is just going way up, and with that, I mean, so are sliders. I mean, it's not just fastballs. I mean, guys are throwing sliders at 90 miles an hour.
Yep.
You're going to strike out more when that's going on. And that's just kind of the name of the game. And the game really is changing. And, it's an interesting take on that. You know, there could be something to that. But, it's a different, weird era, I think, in baseball right now where we're seeing a dramatic shift.
Yeah, no, I think it is, and it's part entertaining and it's part confounding in ways, because you're used to seeing it a different way. Let's get to the A's a little bit. I think last year was a great season for you guys. 97 wins. You unfortunately were in the wild card and you lost to BT's Yankees. I guess my Yankees too, because we're both here in the north in the Northeast.
And by the way, Steve, the fact that he says I guess my Yankees too means
I'm from Virginia, man. I didn't grow up a Yankees fan like BT.
CC's his best, but one of his good buddies. That's
exactly. But you, as you come into this season, there was a stretch where you guys were on a run. I remember noting this at the beginning of the season. I think you won 10 games in a row, and now you've gotten cool. Where do you feel this team is, especially after the success from last season?
You know, I think we're doing okay. We're obviously not happy with a bit of a slow start. We had a slow start last year, but you know, really that's no excuse. You know, it's better to get out of the gate, you know, coming out hot. You know, I think last year was a tremendous year. You know, a lot of guys, including myself, kind of had career years, and this year we're I think struggling a little bit. But I think one thing that is apparent to me is, you know, last year we didn't have all that much expectation, and we burst on the scene, and now we have this expectation. In baseball, it's a tough thing to handle, and I think we're kind of going through that, figuring out how to handle that. But the fact of the matter is we got good, and we're going to have to learn and figure out how to handle that expectation. And I have no doubt that we will, but it may just take a little bit of time. You know, we've had some injuries that have kind of hurt us a little bit. You know, this year we haven't been, you know, at full health, but we've had a lot of guys step in and do a great job. So, I don't know, we're kind of in this in-between, but give it a couple weeks. I think we're going to break out here and start winning a lot of ball games.
You know, Steve, one of the things that I think I only knew this maybe more than the average baseball fan, because I worked in San Francisco long before you went there, just for a little bit, and I got to, you know, spend some time around Bob Melvin, and obviously the Giants too with Bruce Bochy. But the one thing about Melvin, and I would imagine you shared this opinion, because as a major leaguer, you know which managers know what's up and which ones are a little sloppy. I know that you always had probably respect for Bob Melvin from a distance, but playing for him, I think he's the most underrated manager in baseball. I think he's borderline brilliant. I think he's great at what he does. Is he even better than you thought before you were traded there?
Yeah. I mean, the best way I can sum it up is he just gets it. He just gets it from a front office perspective and a player perspective. He has this tremendous way to kind of balance the two out. And, one of the things about him that, I mean, I just feel like he has my back. And I think a lot of the guys on the team feel the same way. And underrated, maybe. I mean, he won the AL Manager of the Year last year, so that was, pretty high honor, and not the first time he's won that.
Yeah, but Steve, think about this. The people who vote on that are the people connected to the game. I mean, people kind of on the periphery, like the fringe fans, and I don't mean the guys and gals who cover the sport. They obviously know what's up. I mean everybody else.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, but part of the reason why I think he is so great is level-headed, keeps things simple, and he's not the flamboyant type. That's just not his his persona, but
not at all.
Like I was saying, he just gets it, and I love playing for him. You know, I got tossed the other night for the first time in my career, and he was right behind me, and he got tossed. Like he's got your back. You know, he's a great manager.
Okay, I want to go back to something you said before. In your words, you said, you know, it's a different, weird era right now, talking about the strikeouts and obviously encompassing everything with baseball. I remember Tiki was out when we had Pete Rose in studio. Joe Morgan, actually asked this question. I'm not Pete. I asked Joe, you know, one thing that I feel is really missing from the game, you know, obviously triples and, you know, the gapper where the outfielder's got to relay it to the shortstop. I just feel like there's a lot of inaction, strikeouts, walks, and bombs. You say the game is different and is a bit of a weird era. As a player, is it as exciting as it was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s with all the inaction? I feel like it's not, but I'm not playing.
That's a good question too. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, it's pretty interesting from a player perspective. I mean, there's so much data now that we're kind of handed and given, and different ways to think about the game that no one's really been thinking about before. And so there's some interesting aspects to that from the player perspective, whether that's translating to the fans and whether they're getting excited about the infield doing a ridiculous shift or putting four outfielders out there when Matt Olson's up. I don't know if they're getting the same excitement from that or not.
Yeah, that.
It's just different. And I don't know. It's in my opinion, kind of eroding away some of the awesome lessons that you can pick up from this game. It used to be, okay, we need to figure out how to move a guy over.
Yep.
Now they just shift you and they pitch you inside and you just, like, physically can't really do it. And there's certain – I mean, I was taught to hit the ball up the middle. I mean, 80% of the time, there's a second baseman right behind second base. So that's no longer a good approach for me. I've really got to shift it way over and to the right side. So there's just certain things that I grew up being taught that are kind of getting eroded away. And I don't know if it's for the better or not. But
No, I feel you. It's a good description. You usually take it through the box, you get rewarded. Keep the hands back and just try to go through the middle. Now you get penalized. There's like in softball, somebody playing short center field. It's wacky. My God.
And that's why I think guys are trying to go for the home run now, is because, I mean, you hit a ball on the ground, it's most likely going to get caught. It's just the computer knows, and we're battling against other big leaguers, but also these large data sets.
Steven Biscotti of the A's is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Steven, BT mentioned this at the top of the interview, and we all remember this last two off seasons ago. You requested basically to be traded out to home, Oakland's in the East Bay, where you're from, because you wanted to be around your mother, who had ALS and passed away, unfortunately. Our condolences last May, I believe. What's it been like coming home, especially under those circumstances, and playing a game you grew up playing and loved?
Yeah, and just to say how it truly happened, it wasn't something that I requested. I mean, this is something that the Cardinals and A's put their heads together on,
oh, wow,
on my behalf, and
wow,
it was just I was blown away. I didn't, because you don't hear about that happening, and I feel like it was kind of a first of its kind as far as a move like that. But you know, it was an interesting time when I did get traded, because I love St. Louis. My mom loves St. Louis. She loved coming there and watching games. She, I don't know if she felt bad, but she knew I loved that place. But, I mean, to be able to come home and be there for what all was going on was just so, so important. I can't imagine I've been 2,000 miles away with what was going on. And it allowed me to have many more lasting memories and you know, that comfort of being around. So that was just really huge, and I'm grateful to both organizations on that front.
We all felt for you when you know, we heard the story. Of course, we referenced the story on the air. I don't know how you push anything aside and actually try to focus on hitting an exploding slider when you were dealing with what I don't know how you did it, Steven. You know, I asked you about when you were drafted. So that was 2012, and ALS has you know, different teeth depending upon the individual. Mm-hmm. Was your mom fully healthy the night that you were drafted, or the day that you were drafted?
Yeah,
she was.
We found out in 20 it was 2017 in May.
Wow, that was aggressive. Oh, wow.
She was in like the 99th percentile as far as speed. Just incredibly fast, which was unfortunate. And that's from point of diagnosis. She was noticing her foot. She was having issues kind of moving it.
Yeah.
That had been going on about a year prior.
Well, listen, man. First of all, get off the schneid, man. Lost five games in a row. Let's get a win here for the A's, will you? I mean, come on. Enough of this nonsense. You guys have been doing well. Let's go.
We want to root for you guys for sure.
We'll get it back going.
Good.
No doubt. And those A's fans, they're not always there 25 or 30,000 deep, but they are loud and they're ferocious. So
they are the loudest in baseball, no doubt.
They're nuts.
They're an earshot of me in right field, so it's awesome.
Oh, I know. They're banging the drums. They're maniacs out there. Steven, great conversation, man. Really nice having you on the show.
Yeah, I know you guys are on an extended road trip, and you have a game tonight. Good luck, and I appreciate you hopping on and sharing a little bit of your story.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Be good, Steven.
You got it. Steven Piscotty from formerly at the Cardinals.
Cool I didn't realize it was two spots up. I thought it was kind of a request. Like he wanted
to be
closer.
I was unclear on that as well.
Yeah.
That the fact that they would do that independent of him. I mean, it's not like he was a 34-year-old utility guy.
No.
The Cardinals drafted him in the first round. Paid him money. They had a real investment.
He was up for 3 years, I believe. He's up for 3 years, and they traded him.
Yeah, he signed a $33 or $36 million deal. That is incredible fortitude, incredible vision, just selflessness on the part of the Cardinals to even think about initiating, and the A's,
to
initiate that independent of Steven and his family's wishes. That's... it's about as unique a story as you're going to hear.
It's a great story.
That's incredible. All right, we enjoyed having him on. Sad note aside with his mom, but he seems like he's doing okay. Coming up next here, Teak, this is obviously not life or death, but at least pertaining to football, not going in the right direction here. Todd Gurley, you and I have talked about the direction of his career and how it seems ominous. Well, it feels and seems even more ominous today. We'll tell you why. We'll get to that coming up. Teaky and Tierney right here on CBS Sports Radio. All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money, which to GEICO. It's go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. A great chat with Steven Piscotty. That was really, really eye-opening. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that as well. We've got football at the 40s coming up next. Some big names on the menu. Patrick Peterson makes it. Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. Le'Veon Bell. All right. And Blake Bortles. You don't want to say with the same energy. Le'Veon Bell and Patrick Peterson and Russell Wilson. And Blake Bortles is on the menu as well. Boy, Teak, this is not good for Todd Gurley.
No.
The Los Angeles Rams running back has been held out of on-field practices during the offseason workouts. Mm-hmm. Instead, taking part in a planned training program. He's also reportedly tried to shed half a dozen pounds down to 218 in an attempt to lighten the load on a knee that held him down much of the stretch last season. Sean McVay has addressed this. Others are beginning to weigh in. Terrell Davis, a quote, he said this earlier today on the NFL Network, TD, quote, "This is the beginning of the end of Todd Gurley as we know him." All right, running back, talk to us.
Hey, look, we said this last year, BT, maybe even before last year when we saw some of these injuries things catching up with Todd Gurley. I remember Todd Gurley at Georgia and was enamored with his skill set because he did everything, right? Sometimes you say, he's a pass-catching running back out of college. He gets like 15 passes a game. Georgia toted him the rock out of the backfield. So he was a great pass catcher. He obviously knew he was a great runner. He's a kick returner. Watched a couple of those games. Returned kickoffs, won for a touchdown. But then he tore up his knee in college. And a lot of people will create the narrative that running backs are too fragile or they're not worth taking in the first round because of the example like Todd Gurley. I think there's a caveat to that. The reality is running backs who have been hurt consistently in college, those are the ones you have to worry about. The guys who aren't, like Saquon Barkley, even though he's only in his first year, he had no injury issues in college. He turned out to be a stud, won rookie of the year. Zeke Elliott, Same thing. He was, you know, physically healthy throughout his three years he played at Ohio State. He was obviously fantastic. Did he win Rookie of the Year too?
I think who's
Zeke Elliott. I can't remember if he won Rookie of the Night.
That's
year
funny.
Or not.
All those awards, they just blend.
They
into
do.
Me.
But he rushed. Rushed for 1,600. Whatever it is, he led the league in rushing.
He was a beast.
For like 1,600 yards. I can't remember if he won Rookie of the Year or not. It doesn't matter. He panned out. He was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey, same thing. He didn't really have any injury issues. Maybe had a hamstring or so here and there. But he rushed for 2,000 yards. Was a stud, healthy one in college.
Yep.
You're getting that right now.
Yep.
You get the guys that were hurt. You remember Leonard Fournette? He was banged up a
always
lot.
Always hurt at LSU.
Whether it was a hamstring or a knee sprain or a big ankle injury that kept him out of those latter few games. And ultimately, that's why he decided to sit out of his bowl game. Those are the guys you worry about. But just forget the narrative about not drafting running backs in the first round. If he's healthy, take the dude. He might not pan out, but take the healthy ones. It's the guys that are hurt that you worry about because of this. These long-term issues, and I've always said this, it's a function of carries with running backs, BT. You take too many poundings, too many cuts, whatever it is, you eventually just start to wear down. But there's some guys like Frank Gore who just defy the odds, and somehow he's still doing it at 35 years old. But
older than that. I think he's older than 35.
Because I played with him. He was in the Pro Bowl with me, so he's got to be, maybe he's probably 37, or who knows. But he's defying the odds. Emmitt Smith defied
Marcus
the odds.
Allen played
Marcus
for,
Allen defied the odds.
Yep.
But most of these guys wear down over time.
Yep.
But if you have an injury history, that process of wearing down is accelerated significantly. And we saw the beginnings of it last year. And, I mean, it's still lingering here. This isn't something that's just going to fix itself.
Nope. Nope. It's a huge problem here. And, you know, there's just no way to talk around this. Not that we have been. As Tiki outlined, I mean, you've been pointing out what you just asserted just now. You've been saying this for a long time.
Yeah.
Think about this. When you have somebody in their mid-20s who's in their physical, their absolute physical prime.
24 years old, man.
I mean, you're talking about losing an extra 5 or 6 pounds to lighten the load. I mean, if it's that precarious, it is dire. I don't know that there's another word, at least pertaining to the football sense. It is dire.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do. But I think more directly and unfortunately, I don't think it matters what they do.
No.
Because
right.
they can nurse him through the summer and he won't take a snap. Like no Rams took any snaps during the preseason last year. If you put him out week one, you know, that first bounce, that first cut, that first misdirection, that first hit at the knees. I don't know how this guy plays this year well. I don't know how he plays well.
You can't expect him to. He might surprise you.
No, I actually expect him not to. You might, unfortunately.
I'm talking about if you're a Rams fan. We got to hope and pray that this is going to happen. But let's not forget, about this time last year, a year ago, right now, he signed a 4-year, $57 million extension. And it was a big deal, the biggest deal at the time. Now, it was stealing a year because it was before his fifth-year option.
Correct.
So it stole a year of service for him, for them, which is a good thing that they did do that and didn't wait until after this year. Otherwise, it wouldn't have gotten done. But they're still, I don't want to say stuck because that's just a bad word, but I'll use it because I can't think of another one. They're stuck with this contract for at least three more, 19, 20, 21. After 21, they have an out.
What if he retires? I mean, what if he retires if he just can't do it anymore?
Physically
Lloyd's
retires?
London insurance
yeah, probably.
Thing?
Probably.
They'll get some finances alleviated, right?
Yeah, and especially because this is demonstrable. This is arthritis. I got a little pain and I got to retire because I'm feeling whatever.
No, there's no nuance here. You'll see bone, you'll see a white cloud, you'll be able to detect MRI, skeletal x-rays. You'll
likely
know that he's in trouble.
A lot of bone spurs and wear on the joint and all these other things. So, yes, there is a financial recourse, but the bigger story is it sucks for him, man, because he felt like a year ago, he was on the verge. I'm talking about the year that they didn't go to the Super Bowl, 2 years ago when they lost in their first playoff game. It felt like Todd Gurley's going to be the man.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive MVP, offensive player of the year. He didn't win the MVP. Tom Brady won the MVP, but offensive player of the year, and the sky was the limit.
Yep.
But again, these guys with knee problems coming out of school, that degeneration process, that expiration time frame speeds up a lot. And it's unfortunate because, like we just said, he's only 24 years old.
I don't know what they do. I mean, if this happened a year earlier, maybe they would have kicked the tires. Maybe they would have been aggressive and gotten Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they do now.
You're right.
I mean, because the way their contracts are loaded, I mean, they need to make one. There's even rumblings they might not retain Jared Goff. People have weighed in on that.
Right.
You know, for that second, you know, is he worth $30 million a year? I don't think he is.
And what BT's alluding to, let's not forget, they signed everybody.
Yep.
2 years ago. Everybody.
They went all in.
We are buying our way to a championship. They got there, but they lost it. But now they're stuck.
Well, you know what this is like? And I usually use the blackjack analogy. I'm going to use a poker analogy here. Whenever we talk about cards, I've said one of the reasons I don't love poker is because it's a little bit too slow moving for me. I like action. I like cards moving.
Yeah.
I like flipping. I don't like looking at two cards and being bored out of my mind and say, if you play the right way.
Yeah.
No, I'm not playing. They are akin to the, and I've done this before with my friends, not at a casino. They are akin to the person who plays every hand of poker, and now they don't know how to bet. And they're just, now there's like five other people at the poker table with their feet up like this. Come on, going fishing here. Come on, we got you. And now they're stuck. Now they got to play a hand.
You're right.
All these contracts that they went all in on equate to, I don't want to say sloppy plays because it made a little more sense at that time than the poker player who's clueless.
You could argue it worked.
But it equates to the same thing. Well, it didn't. They didn't win.
True, but they got to the dance.
Okay.
Did they win? No, they didn't.
I mean.
So ultimately, if you're going to spend all that money, you better win.
You got to win.
Is your point. Now, look, they drafted a kid, Daryl Henderson, this year out of Memphis.
Who's third
a
round.
Good player. Third round pick, exactly. He should mitigate it a little bit. The question becomes, like, what do you do with Todd Gurley for the next 3 years? Do you make him like a bit player?
No.
And the reason
you find a way to get rid of him.
I agree.
The reason you
can't do that is because Todd Gurley's most effective moments come after, because he's a big player. He's not like a small runner who's got a dart and dink and dunk and all these other things. He can run through you as well. He becomes most effective when he's 15, 16, 17 carries in late in the third quarter and he rips off this enormous play, right? He's a rhythm guy. That's why we saw him at the end of this last season after they had signed C.J. Anderson. You know, it wasn't worth giving him, you know, 10 carries if you're already going to give him four or five, right? So he ended up getting basically none. It's a tough situation for the Rams, and how they manage this is going to tell a lot about what's going to happen, at least in their thinking, with his career with them this coming offseason.
I hate to have to say this. You know, you say, what do they do over the next 3 years with Todd Gurley? The answer is he's not on the team in 3 years. I don't think he's on the team in 2 years.
It's hard, man. The signing bonus they gave him was big. And so.
All right. So then he's going to be the highest paid cheerleader in the NFL.
You just got to eat it. It sucks, but it is what it is.
That stinks. Yeah. I mean, listen, if it is the end, he's got money. He's got his real health. He's young. But from a football point of view, just devastating.
Yeah,
you're right. He was on the precipice of superstar. He was right there. He was actually in the room.
Yeah,
now he has to leave a little bit early than he would like, for sure. All right, T. Coming up next, football the 40s. Now we know Tom Brady wants to try to crank it up until he's 45. Somebody else has designs on playing into their mid-40s. We'll tell you who it is, and does he have a chance to do it after Axe Update, which is right now. Tomorrow night at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, make way for what's next when CBS Sports Network brings you top-notch WNBA action. Don't miss the Chicago Sky taking on the Washington Mystics right here on the 24-hour home. CBS Sports, CBS Sports Network. Little ladies doing their thing. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 206. Big third hour coming up. We'll get back to the hoops here. And also Brett Ausmus of the Angels, their skipper, is going to join us. But right now, we got a lot to do. Football at the 40s. Let's go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
And, of course, Football at the 40 is brought to you by Fidelity Investments. Fees matter. At Fidelity, you'll know what you're paying and why. Visit Fidelity.com/value to invest with zero trade-offs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, NYSESIPC. All right, if I'm a Lions fan, I'm not exactly enthralled with this development here. Two of their better defensive players. One is Darius Slay, corner. The other is Damon Harrison, formerly the Giants. Big snacks.
Snacks.
You know, and listen, they're not happy. They're not showing up. They're at the mandatory aspect.
Yeah, they're skipping the mandatory. They haven't been around for the voluntary OTAs either. But a lot of guys aren't around for that. OBJ wasn't around. Tom Brady's never around the OTAs. But the mandatory part of this, the mandatory minicamp, usually show up too. But Snacks and Darius Slay, who were big parts, as BT mentioned, of this Lions defense last year, want new deals. The problem is Snacks is going to be 31 and Darius Slay is going to be 32, I believe, going into this season. So they're a little bit aged to be asking for long-term deals. Now, the production has been good, but you always see teams a little bit cautious to play big money to guys after they've clipped past 30, unless you're a quarterback,
yep.
Which neither one of these guys are.
And how about this? By skipping minicamp, they could each end up being fined up to $88,000 change
day. I think I'll show up for the mandatory.
I'll show up and do nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll show up, but you're not going to rip off $90,000 a day just to feed your account. Pass on that. Okay, we'll see what happens with the Detroit Lions there. Patrick Peterson is a surprise show at Cards Camp, and obviously he's got a couple of questions to answer. First and foremost would be, what's up with that suspension?
Pretty much doing the same thing I do now. You know, still working out, making sure that I'm mentally prepared. I'm going to be physically ready to go. And it's just all about missing those 6 weeks, getting back in the fire. That's just going to be the biggest thing. I'm going to be in shape. That's not going to be a problem. It's just now just getting back in the groove of things with my teammates because I haven't been there. I'm not going to be there for the first 6 weeks. So,
all right, here's my opinion on what's happened with that's self-explanatory. He failed the drug test, PED.
Yeah,
okay, whatever.
He
failed, big deal. Not the Hall of Fame for baseball. I mean, we don't view it, even though it's cheating or whatever, we don't view it the same way.
There's so many things. It could be Adderall, which is...
Could be a multitude of things,
which
sure.
Which is nothing, yep. But it is.
Not necessarily a horse pill, to
exactly,
your point.
Exactly.
But...
He doesn't look like he's a horse pill.
That's true. They messed this up from the get-go.
Yeah,
they should have really traded him.
Yeah, they should have.
They really should have.
Because he was asking for it. The timing of his career, the intersection, as we like to use the word, of his career.
Yep, the arc
intersection. Is not matching what's going on in Arizona
not
right
even
now.
Close.
They are trying to hang on. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's still around, but they're not going to win in the next couple of years unless Kyler Murray is just ridiculously effective and efficient and surprises the heck out
they
of everybody.
Be.
But as a rookie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With not a ton of talent,
other
than David Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
They should have moved on from him. He wanted to be traded.
Yep.
There was, I think, willing trade partners. He's only 8 years in. He's been a beast for a lot of his career.
Hall of Famer?
Probably not yet. He's close.
As a former player, should the PED fail test?
No.
Determining?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, no sway.
Yeah, I don't care.
You know, and by the way, let's give him some props for being pretty stand up here. I don't know that you really have a choice this day and age.
Right.
But he did say, quote, "I failed the PED test and I'm looking forward to coming back. I feel very, very sorry and I'm very deeply saddened that my name is associated with this. And I'm also letting my brothers down." Goes on to say he wants to get back for the Giants, blah, 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 some football stuff. But he took it on the chin, he manned up,
mm-hmm.
and he will be in shape when he comes back. Whether or not he's wearing a Cardinals uniform, to be determined, but we shall see. I don't know about you. I know that it's a little slow part of the season here, but I'm getting a little tired of all these players saying they want to play till they're 45. I mean, Tom Brady's been espousing this for years now. Now I guess this is the latest story. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson, who you and I have profound respect for, but come on. Russell Wilson says he wants to play until he's 45. Wake me when this is interesting. This is getting boring.
I know. And
45.
By the way, Tom Brady.
It's flag football.
Tom Brady stands in a pocket and maybe gets hit 8 to 10 times a game.
I don't think he gets hit that much.
Tom Brady, 8 to 10 times? Yeah, he gets knocked down. He gets hit. I mean, I mean, like touched.
No, that's different.
Russell Wilson runs around a lot. He's popped a lot.
Yeah.
Unless he completely changed his game, which, by the way, his stature doesn't suit him to change the game and play it the way Tom Brady does. There's no way he's playing until 45. But I agree with you. Who cares? Play as long as you can and then go do something else. Well, or don't do anything else because you're a quarterback. You're making $35 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
You can just chill on your wifey.
See some more IG. You know, those late night posts there. Quote, 7 years has gone by fast. You think about turning 30 and what I have for the rest of my career for the next, I don't know, 10 to 15 years. I'm fired up about it. You think about some of the best of all time, guys like Drew, guys like Tom, guys who are still playing into their 40s. I really look up to them. And why not? Yeah, I can play until I'm 45. We'll see if he gets there. Listen, one thing about Russell Wilson, and it's not fair. It just is what it is. He doesn't get, even with the contract,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't get the respect or the credit.
Agreed.
Football fans respect because they know how important he is. he's not good. Russell Wilson's great.
Agreed.
All right, this guy's great when he's on the field. He wasn't on the field a year ago. That is Le'Veon Bell, finally. All right, he's wearing those Jets colors, looking good. And he was asked, as he showed up at mandatory workout for the Jets, first time that anybody could ask him a question, whether or not he's behind where he is right now based on missing the earlier workouts.
Of course, you know what I mean? Just because of the fact that they've been here longer, they've heard the terminologies longer, but, you know, football is football, so, you know, terminology here was different than what I was before. But it's still maybe the same play, or I might be doing the same route, but it's just me putting the play together, you know, so it's football, it's football, you know. Like I said, that's why I wasn't worried about coming here learning the offense, things like that. I feel like I'm a smart player, and I'm going to show a lot of people that.
Is it me or does he sound like Tone Loke a little bit there? A couple of those spots there. Tone Loke, the OG, the original OG. All right, are you worried about him missing time?
No, I'm not. Le'Veon Bell is a beast. He gives you 5-plus yards per touch, regardless of how you use him, whether it's a runner, as a wide receiver. He can, you know, easily put up 40, 50 yards receiving, in addition to 80 yards, you know, rushing a game, if not more. He's going to be a stud. And he gives them something that they haven't had in a long, long time, which is an effective back out of the backfield. They've had guys in spurts over the last couple of years, maybe a game or two. Le'Veon Bell is a difference maker. And it may not be worth the $52 million deal, but it'll be a good thing for this offense for sure.
Okay, I got a question for you. Now, we certainly associate Curtis Martin as a Jet.
Yep.
But his first 3 years were with the Pats.
That's right.
His first 2 years, he had 14 touchdowns and 14 touchdowns. I love Curtis Martin. He's a great player, Hall of Famer for sure. But I think he's a little top-heavy. Like, he did a little bit more for the Pats than he did for us. Yeah. I mean, that's just keeping
it
real.
But he did average.
I got you.
1,000 yards.
Got you. Oldest to win the rush. I got you. I love him. Who has a better Jets career, Curtis Martin or Le'Veon Bell?
Curtis. I don't think Le'Veon's going to be there long enough to have a career that surpasses Curtis's with the Jets.
It's a fair answer. I just wanted to see. That's a fair answer. Okay. The Cardinals, they really need some great players to, pass through their doors at some point. Not to disparage Carson Palmer, who is a good player. Maybe on certain Sundays, a really good player. But Carson Palmer is going to be inducted into the Cardinals Ring of Honor.
Sam asked me this question. Like, how many years
is
I think Neil Lomax better be.
Right?
He is. How many years do you have to be really good, if not great, with a franchise before you garner Ring of Honor consideration?
Now, what was your answer? Because I got mine.
I said probably 3 or 4.
3 or 4 being good or 3 or 4 being great?
3 being great.
Okay. And then a couple more being good?
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah, I'd probably
Carson
agree with
Palmer
that.
Had 3 decent years, but one of them was cut short. He only played 6 games. Obviously, in 20 what years? That was like 4 years ago. They went to the NFC Championship game. They were 13-3 in this season. Yeah, 4 years ago, and he had a great. That was a great season.
Yeah, he was terrific that year.
Fantastic, but it seems like a little bit of a stretch.
Kurt Warner almost won him the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
I mean, Neil Lomax is not, and I'm not saying that Neil Lomax was great.
Yeah, but he's like what you associate with quarterbacks.
So, Mike, who is in their Ring of Honor?
So Carson Palmer will be the latest. Jim Hart, who was their quarterback for 17 years in the 60s and 70s. Yep. Roy Green, the star receiver. Terrific. Adrian Wilson, the great safety.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner is in there. Aeneas Williams, the Hall of Fame corner.
Oh, yeah.
Roger Worley, Pat Tillman, of course.
Yep.
Dan Dierdorf, Larry Wilson, Charlie Trippi, Ernie Nevers, Dick Night Train Lane. And, of course, their original owner, Charles Bidwell, among some others who I don't really know.
Yeah. Huh.
There were a few of the names that you said that I didn't know.
Yeah, a couple of those are old heads, though. I mean,
I don't know. I don't want to disparage Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer shouldn't be in there. Come on.
Why
wasn't Kurt Warner in there?
And he was. He was.
Oh, he said Kurt. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's not a knock on Carson Palmer.
No.
Because he's a fantastic quarterback.
Well, I don't know if he was.
I don't know if he was there long enough. Well,
tick below fantastic. Let's not get nuts.
Well, I didn't say great.
He said fantastic.
But he was when he first
said,
in Cincinnati.
Did you see that movie last night? Oh, it was fantastic. Like, to me, the word fantastic is a rave review. Did you see that movie last night?
You almost get your team to a Super Bowl, and you have this. He was fantastic for a year. He was.
All right. If you want to split the hairs, we'll agree on that. I agree. That 1 year, he was great. He was fantastic, 1 year, team.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
I thought my Jets had to get creative to get a couple of guys in the Ring of Honor. The Cardinals, I mean, jeez.
Who is the latest? Really, who is the latest for the Jets?
The latest? Who the heck was the latest? I don't know. We got Curtis in there.
I can't think of who the latest one was.
Got Weave Eubank in there. Got Joe in there.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.